It's 10:30 a.m., and this is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Athena McKenzie with Adam Bema and Martina McIntosh. Looking at the weather outside our East York studios, it's a sunny but cold 1 degree. But even though it feels like spring is on hold, Environment Canada shows the temperature soaring to a balmy 13 degrees by Saturday. Now here are the headlines. The bodies of 6 soldiers killed in Afghanistan should be back on Canadian soil by Thursday. Police say a body found outside a North York coffee shop was the victim of homicide. And the TTC is testing their emergency preparedness today at Kiel Station. The 6 soldiers killed on Easter Sunday will be repatriated at CFB Trenton on Thursday. Their commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Rob Walker, says the roadside bomb that killed the men may have been set just hours before the blast. The explosion made Sunday Canada's deadliest day since forces were deployed to the region. A body was found outside a North York Starbucks yesterday. An employee making a garbage run made the gruesome discovery. The police have ruled the death a homicide. They are asking the public for any information. The victim has been identified as 20-year-old Jeffrey Delgado. Toronto firefighters and the TTC are testing emergency strategies at Kiel Station today. The drills will help firefighters plan for problems in the tunnels. The TTT says there will be no delays because of these tests. In other TTC news, passengers have been dealing with extra delays, but it's not the rush hour or tests that are causing this trouble. The TTC is doing track maintenance on the Bloor-Danforth line. This work is giving weekend subway passengers a glimpse of the TTC, normally only seen on the big screen. Mark Kilching has this report.
Thank goodness for subway musicians. At least TTC subway riders this past weekend had music to tide them over for the long, long delays. Construction work between Bay and St. George subway stations meant trains on the Green Line diverted to Museum Station, a part of the Yellow Line. The platform at Bloor Yonge Station was crowded with irritated subway passengers waiting and wondering when the next train would come. Some riders faced waits of over 20 minutes. Rashidul Amin was one of these people. The University of Toronto student was on his way to Robarts Library for some weekend studying.
It really pisses me off that the delays were so bad. They had enough time to plan this out, and on top of that, the delays were on the weekend. So you had a whole bunch of riders that were sitting inside the station for 20, 30 minutes trying to get to their work without knowing what's going on.
Subway fans did have a unique chance to catch a hidden bit of Toronto history. The detour meant trains in the Bloor-Danforth line would pass through Lower Bay. The station was used back in 1966 for a few months, but abandoned shortly after.
The old Bay station looked like one of those abandoned stations from one of the horror movies. It was pretty cool, but at the same time, it was kind of creepy, and they made us wait inside the station for 20 minutes.
Nowadays, Lower Bay is often rented out to fill in as a New York subway station in many Hollywood films. The TTC hopes to have construction completed by March 31st, so if you'd like to catch a glimpse of Lower Bay, this weekend may be your last chance. Mark Kiltzling, Centennial College Radio News.
Oh.
Can I try
to
open it?
No,
which one did I turn
four.
On?
1, 2, 3, 4.
2, 3, 4.
Thank you, Mark. The city of Oakville has closed one of its playgrounds. At least 7 razor blades were found buried in the mulch under the equipment. Police have searched other parks in the area, but no more blades have been found. No children were injured. The University of Toronto is going to sell its tobacco company stocks. The move follows a petition by a student group called eButt. U of T president David Naylor says the decision was logical because there is no question about the ill effects of smoking. And that's the latest news. Now here's Adam Bema with sports.
Thank you, Athena. In sports news, a sold-out crowd welcomed the Blue Jays to Rogers Centre last night. The Jays opened at home with a 9-1 win against the Kansas City Royals. A.J. Burnett started on the mound for Toronto. Burnett's aggressive pitching lasted until the 7th inning, where he struck out 5 and walked 3 before calling it quits. KC's only run was a solo homer by John Buck. The Jays started their offensive onslaught in the 2nd inning, when Reed Johnson singled for an RBI and Lyle Overbay doubled for 3 more runs. This gave Toronto a 4-0 lead to put them on top. The Raptors claw back in the 4th quarter and pull off a 111-100 win, against the Minnesota Timberwolves at Target Center last night. Anthony Parker led the charge, netting 13 of 24 points in the dying moments of the game. Jose Calderon also chipped in with 11 of 12 points being scored in the last quarter. This gave the Raps an edge over the T-Wolves and proved once again that this team belongs in the playoffs. Toronto is now within one game of the Chicago Bulls and Cleveland Cavaliers for the second spot in the NBA Eastern Conference standings. Team Canada hopes to win gold as they square off against the USA at the World Hockey Championship. The Canadians secured their spot in the gold medal match by ousting Finland 5-0. Now they plan to beat the same American team that they suffered a loss to in last year's finals. Canada looks for a win as they prepare for the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. The puck drops tonight at MTS Center in Winnipeg. University of Toronto's newly built sports dome is attracting some big names to the venue, and rental fees for the facility could mean added revenue for the university. But students say they will be unable to use the sports dome because of the fees. Jason Halhalia has this report.
U of T students have been in an uproar after learning that they can't use their own sports dome. On March 2nd, a university council voted against raising student fees by $10. Normally, students hate paying more money, but this fee would have gone into operating their newly built dome. Because of the no vote on raising fees, students will get pushed aside in favor of everyone else when it comes to the dome's usage, says Masha Sidorova, co-chair of the university's Council of Athletics and Recreation.
It's a hot facility. Everybody wants a piece of it. It was built for the students. Unfortunately, we might have to give it away, and we really, really don't want to.
Because students won't be paying for the dome, where will the money come from needed to run it? Well, it's going to come from those who are willing to pay for the space. Adam Pomper, also a co-chair of the Athletics Council, is fully aware of how the university will benefit from giving space to other athletics organizations.
People knocking on the door, you know, they want to give millions of dollars to rent our facility. CFL, you know, we can rent it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year if we wanted to. And the faculty can make millions of dollars, but that's not what we want to do.
But even though a $10 increase might seem like a little bit to get a big arena, there are some students who oppose the way it's being handled by the university.
Waleed Kogali of UTM.
And it's unfortunate that a minority doesn't like what's happening, what's going on. And you know what? The student experience sucks at UFT just because the university is not willing to put more funding.
The no vote decision has until May 1st to be revised. If the university agrees to go ahead with raising fees, students will be able to butt heads with each other over a game of lacrosse. If not, they'll be butting heads with the administrators to get back what was theirs to begin with. This is Jason Halhalia, Centennial College Radio News.
Thank you, Jason. Please stay tuned because after the brief intermission, Martina McIntosh has her world-famous e-report.
Okay, first pucker up.
I thought you were going to teach me about hockey.
I am. I'm demonstrating a face-off.
Face-off? I think you're offsides.
Looks like I'm starting off in the penalty box.
So, been a Ranger for long?
Since the Ice Age.
Why aren't we at the Gardens?
I always listen to the game on the radio so I can sit back, relax, and enjoy my cigar. You don't mind, do you?
No, not at all.
Could you hand me my Rangers jersey, please?
Cold?
No, it's a ritual.
Ritual?
Yeah, every time the Rangers play, I wear my lucky jersey and light up a Baron.
I understand the jersey, but why the Baron cigar?
Nowadays, I can't find the time or place to smoke as often as I like, so when I can do it, I do it right with the bearing.
You look pretty good in that jersey.
Oh yeah, well how about a body check?
How about a slap shot?
Hi everyone, here's latest from Tinseltown. It's going to be all dead air coming from Don Imus' morning radio show over the next 2 weeks. The popular U.S. radio show host has had his show suspended for 2 weeks starting on Monday. The suspension comes after Imus referred to black members of an NCAA women's basketball team as some, quote, nappy-headed hoes. He said he regrets the comments and that they were inappropriate. Speaking of inappropriate, today may finally be the last day that Anne Nicole Smith is in the news. The paternity of her daughter, Dani Lynn, will be revealed today. The courts are not allowing the results to be made public. However, nothing involving Anne Nicole the past couple of months has gone by the books. So I'm sure by the end of the day, we will all know who the lucky guy is. And don't worry, everyone. Your prayers have been answered. Well, maybe you weren't praying for it. But anyways, a new X-Files movie is in the works. Even though the show has not been on since 2002, the producers still feel that people want another X-Files movie. According to X-Files star David Duchovny, if the movie is successful, there may be many more X-Files films to come. The area of St. Clair and Hillcrest of Toronto has just become a little more creative. Eden Bender and her husband Hans have opened an art gallery called the Scratch Gallery, showcasing talented Canadian and international artists. Ashkan Habudi reports.
A small gallery exposes unique photography, oil on canvas, and other interesting mediums. The style of artwork ranges from traditional to modern, but maintains a dark theme. Eden says the area of Bathurst and Hillcrest is booming and also has a rich history of well-known artists.
Our clients live in this neighborhood, and even though this one strip has been barren for so long, I think people are really looking forward to it. They've come out and been very supportive. I think there's a huge history, long line of artists in general that live in this neighborhood. People who collect, there's a lot of them around here, so that's part of it. I think the neighborhood has history.
Through networking with a diverse group of artists, Eden has been able to display an extraordinary pieces of artwork that she says has mesmerized guests. Eden says she's reached a level where artists constantly submit their work to get valuable exposure. Ashkan Hobuti, Centennial College, Radio News.
And that's all from me. Now let's send it back to Athena for the wrap.
Thank you, Martina. Now here is a recap of our top stories. The bodies of six soldiers killed in Afghanistan should be back on Canadian soil by Thursday. Police say a body found outside North York Starbucks was a victim of homicide, and the TTC and firefighters are testing their emergency preparedness at Kiel Station today. Stay tuned to Centennial College News or check out our podcast at www.centennialondemand.com/radio. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great morning.